Father, we're so thankful to know you and to be called your children and your family. And we reverence you and your word and your Holy Spirit. And we say we're all here today and in Sarasota and joining us online to hear what you say and to receive what you administer to us. We ask for utterance. We ask for the anointing, moving and manifesting of your holy angels, your Holy Spirit. Open eyes and ears and heart that can see, hear, and receive and understand. And we give you our full attention in these next part of time. And we're asking for answers, direction, help. And we purpose not to be hearers only, but to be doers. And as surely as we act on what you say, great things will happen. You always watch over your word and perform it in the lives of those who do. In Jesus' name, amen. Said out loud, I'm a doer.
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 Of the word of God. That means you're not just all talk. Right? You're not just talk. You're a doer. You can be seated. Y'all can be seated. We've been on a subject we're calling the Lord My Healer for the past few weeks. And we'll put some things up on the screen, but you could go ahead and turn to James, the second chapter, so you'll be ready when we get there. Our main text has been Exodus 15:26. The latter part of it says, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Anybody like that?
Yes.
I am the Lord that healeth, we'd say today, heals you. And this is, if you look up the words, this is one of those great redemptive names. It's Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah is the self-existent one. He's not dependent on anybody for his existence. He's the creator. And he is the I am. That's also another way of saying he is the self-existent one. The I am. And you might say, he am what? He am too much to say in one sentence. So I am covers it. But he is the I am that always exists, who was and is to come, and who never changes. He is the I am who heals you. The Almighty, never-changing God who heals you.
Amen.
Oh, come on, somebody said out loud, He is,
the Lord
that heals me. Can He do it?
Yes.
Has He done it?
Yes.
Does He do it?
Yes.
Will He do it?
Yes.
For who?
Me.
He is I'm the Lord that heals
me.
You. I'm the Lord that heals you. Now, one thing that we've seen in previous studies, and if you want the previous, it's easy to get. Go online, download it, won't cost you anything. If you're in the building, you can get a CD or DVD, won't cost you anything. In Psalm 103, we saw. Psalm 103:1, you just stay there, and James, we're working our way there. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name." And we did that some Friday night. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Plural. To hear some folks talk, you'd think there was just one big benefit of being a Christian, being saved, and that you don't go to hell, you go to heaven when you die. And if that's the only one you had, it'd be worth it, right? That'd be. But there are benefits. plural. He is the God who saves, but He's also the God who heals and protects and provides and delivers. And the list goes on. In fact, in Jeremiah 17, 14, don't turn there, but He said, heal me and I'll be healed. Save me and I'll be saved. Is there not only salvation, but also healing?
Yes.
Not only the new birth, but also healing of the physical body. There is. God has done that. He does do that. He always will do that. He is the I Am who heals you. And back in Psalm 103, He begins to list these benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Benefit number one. He what? Forgives all your iniquities. Now, if you just stopped right there, you'd search high and low to find any church in America or in Europe or in Africa or South America or anywhere in the world that would argue with you about this. Right? If you say He forgives all your iniquities, churches in Alaska and the Arctic would say, yes. Churches in South America would say, yes. European churches would say, yes. Asian churches would say, yes. Right? Churches in Georgia and Tennessee, right in New York, Pennsylvania, Montana, they would all say, yes, yes, a resounding, unified, unanimous chorus of yes. But you just go to part B of the same verse and you say, who heals? Oh, and you start hearing the breaks. Well, you just never know. You know, now healing's different. Different from forgiveness. Yeah. I mean, forgiveness is for everybody. But healing, sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says, wait a while. Really? Now, why am I saying this? Because you and I are in the minority of churches that just accept this and say, yep, He will heal all your diseases exactly like He will forgive all your iniquities. Most churches don't believe this. Most seminaries don't teach this. Most preachers don't preach this. I'm glad to be on this side. How about you? I'm glad to be on this side. Said out loud, He forgives
all
my iniquities.
And
He heals
all
my diseases. It's Bible.
Hallelujah.
It's Bible.
Hallelujah.
In the ministry of Jesus, we looked at this last Sunday about how He was moved with compassion toward people and healed their sick multitudes.
Yes.
People have told us, no, now Jesus, he was displaying His power. He was proving that He was the Son of God by healing people. You don't have to heal everybody to prove you got power. Right? You take the hardest cases in the most visible situations and you make a demonstration out of that. I mean, He's healing people inside where nobody can see it. He's healing people and telling them, don't tell anybody. Now, how does that work? Toward proving everybody you're the Son of God. Right? And here's what's even more challenging to that idea. In His own hometown, He was not able I'm quoting Scripture. Somebody said, you didn't say that. You heard me say it. I'm quoting Scripture. We're going to look at it later, I think. Not able to heal people. In your own hometown is a perfect place to demonstrate. They're saying, who does he think he is? This is Joseph and Mary's boy standing up saying he's anointed. Who does he think he is? This is the perfect place to go. You want me to prove to you who I am? All right, let's have it. Bring me the hardest cases you've got, and I will show you that I'm not just a man. He didn't do it. I said he didn't do it. The Bible said he couldn't. I'm quoting Scripture. Mark 6:5 said he couldn't do it. No, no. These ideas that people have come up with are unscriptural. They're contrary to Scriptures. Look with me in James now. There were multitudes of people, as we said, in Jesus' ministry that were healed. There was never a one in all of the scores of thousands that got healed in his meetings and ministry. There was not even a one that it wasn't his will to heal. Not a one. In order for something to be scriptural, you know what you need for it? Scriptures. And you need to be able to show, you know, at least one place where Jesus said, I'm sorry. I know all these other people got healed and it looked so good and fun, but not for you today. God has put this on you to teach you something, and he's working something. I mean, if God made these people sick, then Jesus is opposing the Father in getting them healed. But the Scripture rather said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. Calling all of that sickness and disease satanic oppression. Amen. If sickness and disease was satanic oppression then, when did it change? What is it now? Sickness and disease is not a blessing in disguise. It is satanic oppression. It steals, it kills, it destroys. It's something for you to resist. Right? Don't accept it. Don't receive it. Resist it. And believe that just like it's God's will for all your iniquities to be forgiven, it's God's will for all your sicknesses to be healed. And so, well, everybody's not healed. Well, everybody's not saved either. Right? What does that prove? It just proved for whatever reason they didn't receive. And you and I have come short on receiving things before, but that doesn't change the will of God. Doesn't change the provision of God. And if we didn't receive, don't quit. Build your faith up. Get stirred up and receive it this time. Right? Get back up to bat. James 2, I believe it is. James 2, there is a phrase that is used much in many circles in church. God is able. God is able. I've seen Pentecostal churches sing and holler, and preachers holler about God is able, until people were half climbing the wall and falling over themselves. God is able. And I mean yell and sing and hoop and holler. God is able. Somebody said, what's wrong with that? It does not produce faith to receive. It's a subtle deception. It sounds like you've got all this faith in God, and the truth is you have no faith to receive. I'm pausing for effect. Let it sink in, because I know we just poked a holy cow right there. Right? Did you hear? Moo! Did you? Well, we're not just going to poke her. We're going to take her out. Yes, you need to believe God is able. Yes, you need to believe. But if you believe in God, that's pretty much a given. If you don't believe God can work a miracle, then you just don't believe in God. Right? You don't believe He is God. If He created the heavens and the earth, right? Human beings. It ain't a big stretch to figure He could heal somebody or work some kind of miracle. But that does not give you any faith to receive for yourself. It does not. Look here in James, 2nd chapter, and the 19th verse. James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble." Let me read this to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. Complete Jewish says, "You believe that God is one." In other words, all these other so-called gods, they're not God. God is the one true God, the one real God. Good for you. The demons believe it too. I mean, it's good that you believe that, but you ain't got out beyond demon faith. So I told you. And yet, this is what a lot of people like to hoop and holler about. God is able. God is able. And think they've really done something, and yet no faith to receive was produced. Amen. They ran, they hollered, they sweated, they fell out, and nobody received any faith to receive. I just believe God is almighty. Me too. And devils do too. I just believe God can do anything. Me too. And them too. You don't even have to be a Christian to believe that.
Right?
You don't even have to be a Christian to believe God is able. They believe it. And it's so real to them how powerful He is. It makes them shudder with fear. You ask the demon, "You believe God is real?" They go, "Whew. He's real. He's able." It's not what God can do that inspires faith. Faith, like Brother Bosworth said in his book, Christ the Healer, faith begins where the will of God is known. It's not what God can do that brings you faith to receive. It's what you become convinced it is His will to do for you, that He desires to do for you. That's what causes faith to receive to come. And that's why the will thing is such a big deal. That's why it's questioned. That's why it has been muddled and hidden. It might not be His will. We just don't know what His will might be. Well, Ephesians 5:17. It said, "Don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Ephesians 5:17. And show it to me in the Young's Literal, if you would, please. He said, "Become not fools, but what? Understand what is the will of the Lord." It's not okay to just bump through life thinking the will of God cannot be known. It's why we have this wonderful book. It's why He even gave us the author of the book to live inside of us 24/7 to help show us what's in the book. It's not enough to say, "Well, we just don't know what the will of the Lord is." We'll get to finding out what the will of the Lord is. Helps to come to church. Right? Read your chapter. Every day. Right? Meditate on the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit. He will reveal to you. And if you don't know it, give yourself to the Word and God will reveal to you that He is the same as Jesus expressed Him as He walked through this earth. Nobody ever came to Jesus and said, I want to be healed. Would you heal me? And He said, I'm sorry. Not a one out of tens and scores of thousands. Everybody that came to Jesus to be healed left healed. Everybody. 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 There were some people that didn't accept Him and didn't believe Him and they didn't receive. But everybody that came to Him left healed. Everybody. Is He not the same? Yesterday, today, and forever. And when it gets so strong in you that you know He wants you healed. And you don't just have faith in His power, but you got faith in His will. Now you're ready to receive. Now you got faith to receive. You have moved on out beyond devil faith. You have risen to another level. And you got real Christian faith. Real Jesus type faith. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say, Lord, lift me up. Go with me, please, to the book of... I get to studying and I get carried away and I make all these notes and I get here and something happens to the clock. Luke 22, would you look here? Actually, go to Luke 23 and we'll back up. Luke 23. There are all kind of people, preachers, teachers, theologians, denominations, that try to tell you and me that it's not always God's will for us to be healed. It's a constant onslaught. And it's an attempt of the enemy to undermine your faith in His will. And if that's gone, you got no faith to receive. You can holler about God's able all day and it won't mean a thing. If you question His will, your faith is gone. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the anointed word of the Lord. And what are you going to find out when you're hearing the anointed word? You're going to find out who He is, what His will is, what He's done for you, what He wants for you. And when you find out what His will is, what's already been bought and paid for, what's already been given, your faith to receive comes up. And among these things, people are asking us to believe things that are so contrary to what we see in Jesus. Now, Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. That means everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus did, is a direct revelation of the Father. Amen. Right? Amen. His unchanging will for all men for all time. We're not just people try to tell us, no. Jesus just did some things to prove who He was. It was just a special thing for a short amount of time. That's not what the Bible said. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. You've heard His will. You've seen His will. And He doesn't change. Everything He did and all these healing, He spent a lot of time ministering healing, is demonstrating the unchanging will of God for all people. And I want you to see something that should be an eye-opener. In Luke 23, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, in verse 39, I'm reading Young's literal translation. King James says one of the malefactors. It said one of the evildoers who were hanged with Him. Sometimes they're called thieves, but they were evildoers. They could have been much worse. Murderers, who knows? Evildoers were hanged beside him. And one of them said, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. Do you hear that if?
Yeah.
No revelation of who God is, what His will is, and so no respect. Is there any faith in this? None. And when you say, if it be thy will, it says the same thing. You don't know, so there's no confidence. Verse 40, the other one said, rebuked him. Now he's doing this while they're hanging there suffering.
Right.
He tells the other guy, what's a rebuke? A rebuke is a stern thing. Basically he said, you shut up.
Yeah.
Don't you know? Don't you fear God even right now? Don't you know you're dying?
Right.
You're in the same judgment, verse 41. We indeed righteously, the things worthy of what we did, we receive back. In other words, we are bad guys.
Right.
We are evildoers. We are wicked men. We deserve, and this is bad stuff. If you deserve this, you're a bad person.
Right.
Bad people. But this one did nothing out of place. He didn't even know Jesus.
Right.
And just being there beside him for a while, he decides, this man's perfect. Just being around him. Verse 42, he said, Jesus, remember me, Lord, when you may come into your reign. When? It happens. Ain't no ifs.
Right?
When you do this, how about keeping me in mind? Remember me. There's faith in this. What? Faith in the nature of the Lord. In His compassion. In His willingness to use His mighty power to do something kind for you. That's when you get faith. Not just when you believe He can, but when you know how good He is and how willing He is to use. Like that leper reached out and said, Lord, I know You can heal me if You will. What did Jesus immediately say? I will. Be clean. Wonder if He still says, I will. He hadn't changed. Remember me, Lord, when you may come into your reign. Verse 43. Jesus said to him, verily I say to you, today with me you shall be in paradise. Wow. Wow. You go from being a convicted murderer, killer, whatever, until a few hours or days you're going to be with the Master. You're going to be with Him in paradise. Now if the Lord forgives wicked people, those who are deserving of the most terrible executions, would He forgive you?
Yes.
Hmm? His child. If He forgives people. Look at this back up to the 22nd chapter. We know He forgives. We know He includes. What about healing? I said, what about healing?
Yes.
Does He forgive all thy iniquities? Does He also heal all thy diseases?
Yes.
Luke 22:50.
Yes.
Before He went to the cross, when the soldiers from the high priest came out, and they were about to take Jesus, and the disciples said, verse 49, they said, Lord, should we smite with the sword? And so they pull out their weapons and they start slicing. And verse 50, one of them smote the servant of the high priest, cut off his right ear. I don't think he was trying to take his ear off. I think he's trying to take his head off. Right? But, you know, these are fishermen. Got to remember that. Right? They're not trained soldiers. So instead of taking his head off, he clipped his ear. Cut his ear. Right ear. Right off. Shoo, ear comes off. And verse 51, Jesus answered and said, suffer thus far. In other words, that's enough. That's enough. And He touched his ear and healed him. Whose ear? Whose ear? Who is this guy? This guy has come to take him by force, to be mistreated and killed. And he heals him. And he won't heal you. These theologians would have us to believe that Jesus would heal his enemy, but wouldn't heal you. Really? You believe that? Because I don't. I said I don't. Reached out and touched his ear. I want you to notice this. In Luke, the fourth chapter, this is really enlightening here. Luke 4, about 25 or so. Back up to 24. Jesus said, no prophet's accepted in his own country. Verse 25. I tell you of a truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months with great famine throughout the land. But none of them was Elias sent except save to Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now this is a provisional miracle. There were a lot of Jewish people, descendants of Abraham, who were suffering in that famine. Why didn't they get their needs met? And here a woman of Zidon gets miraculous provision when they don't. In verse 27, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, not a one, except Naaman the Syrian. Now, see, people ask the question, the reason I'm reading this, they'd say, well, why would the Lord heal that man that's trying to take him to be killed, force him, and he wouldn't heal his own people? Well, why would Naaman be healed, who's a Syrian? Now, what kind of guy was Naaman? Well, first of all, he's an enemy of Israel. He led troops in attacking Israel and killed people and took slaves. And one of them was a young girl he took as a personal slave for his wife and for the house. So he's a killer, he's an enemy of Israel, and he's a slaver. And God healed him when nobody in Israel got healed. A lot of people will just shake their head and go, I know. I mean, why is God that way? That's just strange. That's just strange. No, it's not strange. It's not strange. It's not that it's so rare for God to decide to do a miracle. This Bible says, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? Faith is the rare thing. And all these people hollering about God is able, I just believe God is sovereign, I just believe God can do anything, have zero faith to receive any healing. Did you hear me? No faith to receive. And so that's the problem. All these people were mocking him and finding fault with him. He went to his own hometown. He stood up and read the prophet Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. Basically, come and get it. It's here. It's here. I'm here. The anointing's here. And the Spirit's on me. He went through what the Spirit was on him to do. Open the eyes of the blind. Deliverance to the captive. Healing. Is that right? And what'd they say? Who does he think he is? Standing up saying he's anointed. And finally he had to say, you're going to say, physician, heal yourself. Prove to us what we've heard about done. In other words, prove, demonstrate, and we'll believe. And this is, then he brings this up. He said, do you remember? There were a lot of people doing without in Israel. And this woman, this widow, gets supernatural provision all through the famine. There were a lot of lepers in Israel. None of them got healed except this enemy of Israel, slaver. Why? Because the man had enough faith. Right? God will honor faith. I don't care where it is. I don't care who you are, where you come from. Nobody knows you, how terrible you have been. Oh, somebody say, He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He's a righteous God. He's not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of faith. And it's amazing, you will find faith where you didn't expect it. And oftentimes where you should have found it, it's not there. They just want to hoot and holler about God is able. But here's somebody, they don't even know how to play church. Don't even know how. Give me a heathen who knows he's a heathen. And not trying to play games anytime over a hypocritical Christian that knows all kind of stuff but won't admit it. You can't get anywhere. You can't get anything solved. But if somebody, remember the guy that Jesus saw, he smote on his, the other guy said, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I tithe. I do this. I do that. And this other guy said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Whew. The Lord said, that guy got something. He went away justified. The other guy, he's just praying with himself. I'm quoting the scripture. God wasn't even in the conversation. He's just doing all that with himself. You should see some of the looks I get across the crowd. Some folks like it. Some folks, I don't know. Is this relevant? Is this important? Can it make the difference in receiving and not receiving? Absolutely, yes. Here's a man, didn't even know how to play church. But this girl that he stole probably killed her daddy. And her uncles. Are you listening? That's how it works. They invade, they kill the men, they take the boys and the women and the children for slaves, they sell some of them, they keep some of them. And this young girl, making the best of it she can, and this man's a leper, incurable disease. And she mentions to the lady she worked for, she said, you know, if he was over in Israel with the prophet, he could get healed. Wow. Say what? Wow. Say what? Yeah. Now, if she had been ashamed of the Lord and healing, we wouldn't even have that story. If she had been bitter over her situation, come on, can you see that? Could she have been bitter? She's a slave. She's somebody's property. But she speaks right up. She goes, you know, our God heals. Why don't you see healing in some places and other places you wouldn't even expect that you see it? Because somebody dares to believe. Somebody dares to raise up and go, yep. Not only do I believe He can, I believe it's His will. I believe it's His desire. I believe it's His plan. I believe just like He will forgive all your iniquities, He heals all your diseases. And so it got back to Naaman. He said, what? What? Yeah, if you were there, you could get healed. So he sends word to the king. King sends word to the other king, trying to go through government channels. Always a bad idea. They about started a war before they got this figured out. Finally, the prophet had to get a word of knowledge and send word to the king. No, send him to me. Y'all quit all that. Send him to me. And he had enough faith in his diseased condition. Come on, are y'all listening? In his diseased condition to travel that distance. And this, you don't just jump on a plane in those days. Right? Ride that horse, ride that chariot for all those dirt roads and ruts. And he got there. And the prophet didn't even come out to see him. Is that right?
That's right.
But even though he was initially, you got to remember what kind of man Naaman is. He's not a preacher. He's not in covenant with Jehovah. He's an enemy of Israel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A killer of men and a slaver. But he had enough respect for God that even after he got mad and drove away, his servant said, well, if he'd have told you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done that? He said, yep, let's just go do it. Man, that's words right before you see a miracle. Let's just go do what God said. Let's just go do it. And he went and dipped in the river, and his flesh, the Bible said, was like a little child's, like a little baby's. Oh, it'd be hard to imagine how that felt after being leprous for those years, incurable, diseased, awful condition, and now your complexion's better than everybody else's. Not only are you healed, but he went back home and told his wife, touch that, touch that. That's like a baby skin. How many know the Lord can not only heal you so that you don't die, he can heal you so that you are way better shape than before you ever got sick to begin with, if you believe. But now, isn't this amazing? There were lots of leprous people, of God's covenant people in Israel, and not a one of them got healed. Not because it wasn't God's will. It's because they had gotten away from God. They're even worshiping idols. They're doing all kind of crazy, stupid stuff. Nobody's believing. And he had to find somebody over here, a Syrian general. Right? Enemy of Israel and a slaver. And here, he came into his own hometown, and nobody's accepting and believing. He could there do no mighty work. But even by the mercy of God, his enemy gets his ear healed. Somebody say, mercy, 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 and the faith of God. If the Lord heals even his enemies, you going to tell me it's not his will to heal his own child? Huh? His own son? His own daughter? No, 1,000 times no, I refuse to believe that. I believe it is his will for me to be just as healed as I am forgiven. And all of it was bought and paid for at the same cross, in the same redemptive work. And if not everybody's experiencing it, well, not everybody's experiencing the new birth either. It's just about receiving. And don't question the will of God. Would you rather, you know, somebody questioned your ability or your heart? Take me. If you'd say, you know, Brother Keith, I'm starving to death. I hadn't eaten anything in weeks. And I know you got food. You're throwing away food. And I know you could save me from dying if it was your will. But I just don't know. And you told other people, well, you just never know about Brother Keith. He might help you. He might not. He's, you know, he could do it. He could feed you the rest of your life. But might not be his will. Would you like for somebody to believe that about you? Would you rather say, I tell you what, he's a good guy. If he had it, he'd help you out. But he may not have it. But if he had it, Well, we're told to believe that God has it. But he may not, you know, he just may not care. He is touched, the Bible said, with the feelings of our weaknesses and infirmities. Somebody said, why don't he do something about it? Mostly because he already has. He doesn't need to do something about it. He already has. And it's not, why doesn't he decide to do something? It's, why don't people believe? Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, if you had only known, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, who's here, what's available to you, what you could have had, how things could have been. Didn't he cry over the city? Why? Well, why don't he just go in and make them do right? That's not how it works. He doesn't make people receive. He pled. I mean, even in the Old Testament, the Lord said, you know, he does not willingly pass judgment. It grieves him, the Bible talks about. He said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. Repent and turn from it. Why will you die? I have no pleasure is also translated will. It's not my will. How many remember in the New Testament? It's not his will that any should perish. So don't try to tell me it is.
Right?
That, isn't that what people are telling us? Maybe it's God's will that you perish from lack of financial provision or food. Maybe it's God's will you perish because of this disease. Nope. It's not his will that any should perish. Stand on your feet, please.